The book of Proverbs belongs to a group of Old Testament writings commonly called wisdom literature. It's not surprising then that the major theme of the book of Proverbs is wisdom. The words wise and wisdom are used at least 125 times in those 31 chapters. The aim of the book is to help us acquire, to help us apply God's wisdom to the decisions, to the activities of daily life. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, Paul said, "Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." And so Christians are to conduct themselves with wisdom. And the book of Proverbs can serve as a valuable guide in such areas of daily living. Wisdom was an important commodity in the ancient Near East. Every ruler had his council of wise men whom he consulted when making important decisions. Joseph was considered to be a wise man in Egypt. Daniel and his friends were honored for their wisdom while they served in Babylon. To the ancient Jew, wisdom was much more than simply good advice or successful planning. Wisdom keeps us in harmony with the principles, with the purposes that the Lord has built into his world so that as we obey God, everything works for us and not against us. This doesn't mean that we don't experience trials and difficulties, because trials and difficulties are a normal part of life, but it does mean that we have the ability to deal with these adversities successfully so that we grow from them. And in growing, we glorify God. People with godly wisdom have the skill to manage life successfully so that God's purposes are fulfilled in their lives. Pages of history are filled with the names of brilliant, gifted people who were smart enough to become rich and famous, but they were not wise enough to make a successful and satisfying life. Before his death, one of the richest men in the world said that he would have given all his wealth to have made one of his six marriages succeed. It's one thing to make a living. It's quite another thing to make a life. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 6 explain the purpose of the book of Proverbs. I'll read verses 1 through 6. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles." Verses 2 and 3, there are three verbs: to know at the beginning of verse 2, to perceive in the middle portion there of verse 2, and to receive at the first part of verse 3. These verbs refer to the ways that we acquire wisdom. Verses 2 and 3, wisdom again is the predominant theme of the book, and it's set forth here. Verse 2 says to know wisdom and instruction. Verse 3 mentions to receive the instruction of wisdom. Two different Hebrew words are used there. The Hebrew word used in verse 2 is the most commonly used word for wisdom throughout the book. It is a word that's translated skill in some contexts, and it can refer to the ability in craftsmanship. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 6, says, "I have personally appointed Oliab, son of Asamach, the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I have given special skill There's your word, wisdom. I've given special skill to all the gifted craftsmen so they can make all the things I have commanded you to make. It can refer to the ability, the skill, the wisdom in warfare. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 13, beginning in verse 12, it says, "The Lord will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the pomp of his haughtiness, for he has said, by the power of my hand and by my wisdom," or skill, if you will, "I did this, for I have understanding." It can also refer to skill in trade. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 4 and 5, the word wisdom there, translated wisdom in one case and skill in the other. "By wisdom and understanding you have gained wealth for yourself and amassed gold and silver in your treasuries. By your great skill in trading you have increased your wealth, and because of your wealth your heart has grown proud." So it's used in a variety of ways that we just indicated, but the most common use of this word is in reference to wisdom in daily living. Its emphasis is not upon theoretical knowledge, but upon a proper discernment between good and evil, or right and wrong. It teaches that wisdom involves not only intelligence, but also moral integrity. For example, in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, and then verses 11 through 13. "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them." Down in verse 11, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way." And so this wisdom affects living in the same way the skills of artists or musicians affect the practice of their craft. Biblical wisdom involves all of life. In verse 2, we have the word instruction. To know, chapter 1, verse 2, "to know wisdom and instruction," he says. This word refers to training. It refers to discipline. It implies that wisdom is for disciples. Wisdom is for learners who are willing to keep themselves under the restraint and under the control of God. This word refers to the process of receiving knowledge and then applying it to daily life. Understanding, or insight, in the latter part of that verse, verse 2, to perceive the words of understanding, is from a word meaning to discern, and it points to the ability to make right choices. In verse 3, to receive, the word receive there means to take possession, to receive something, to take possession. It's used of taking possession of a city, for example, in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 25. It says, "So Israel took all these cities." And so we see that wisdom is purposeful, verses 3 through 5 that we've already read. This is a different Hebrew word here for wisdom in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. It's translated wise behavior in the New American Standard Bible, and it refers to good sense and practical judgment. So the text says to receive the instruction of wisdom. This is a quality that was displayed by Abigail, a familiar Bible character. Husband's name was Nabal, which means foolish or senseless. 1 Samuel 25, verse 3 identifies her husband and said, "His wife Abigail was a sensible," there's your word, "a sensible and beautiful woman." Notice that it's accompanied by justice, or some translations say righteousness, judgment, and equity. Verse 3 again, to receive the instruction of wisdom or wise behavior, justice or righteousness, judgment and equity. And so one who practices this wisdom or one who practices this wise behavior is right, is just, and is fair. Verse 4 mentions the simple or the naive, to give prudence to the simple, the naive. This individual is one who's inexperienced and likely to make mistakes. Because of a sinful lifestyle, many people lead themselves down a course to self-destruction. Wisdom is extolled as the only path to a full and fruitful life. Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 26. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The source of wisdom is God, who by wisdom numbered the clouds, we're told in Job 38, verse 37. By wisdom, God founded the earth, we just read in Proverbs 3, 19. By wisdom, God established or made the world, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 12. God alone can provide men and wisdom, men and women with the wisdom to live righteously. Proverbs 2, verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. But true wisdom recognizes a need for the fear of the Lord. Why is there a need for fearing the Lord? The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In this verse, one finds the overall theme of the book of Proverbs. Wisdom begins with a relationship to the Creator, that is, a fear or submissive reverence to God. The fool displays the opposite disposition. In chapter 1, verse 7, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool in Proverbs is not one who's lacking in intelligence. Rather, he's one who is obstinate. Proverbs 17:10, a sensible person accepts correction, but you cannot beat sense into a fool. The fool is one who is stubborn. Proverbs 3:35, you'll be praised if you are wise, but you will be disgraced if you are a stubborn fool. The fool is one who's rash. Proverbs 29, verse 11, fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. The root of the fool's foolishness is not mental, it's spiritual. He begins by rejecting the fear of the Lord and by determining to go his own way, and so he closes his mind to God. Proverbs 1:29 through 31 says, "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and they shall be filled to the full with their own fancies." Where the simple, the naive, wanders into sin, the fool plans it. And so unless a person has a proper fear of the Lord, he simply will not be receptive to the word of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the latter part of it says, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The value of the fear of the Lord is described in Proverbs. Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short." The fear of the Lord prolongs life by keeping one away from evil. Proverbs 16:6 says, "By the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil." The fear of the Lord prolongs life by keeping one untouched by harm. Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life. He will not be visited by harm." People often shorten their life due to wickedness. Some illnesses, in fact, are directly related to wicked behavior. STDs, hardening of the liver from alcohol, destruction of the body by drugs. You can go on and on. People given to violence and other things. Emotional stress as a result of the emotional guilt of sin takes its toll on the body. But one who fears the Lord, one who heeds the word, is spared from many of these things. The fear of the Lord increases the quality of life. It does so by giving one a strong confidence. Proverbs 14:26 and 27, the first part of verse 26 says, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence." They live a life of confidence, not despair. They know that their life is being led by the Lord, and I don't mean that in some mysterious way. They follow his teachings. They are led by him as he guides them through his word. They are protected by him. Fear of the Lord increases the quality of life by providing refuge. The second part of that verse, Proverbs 14:26, says, "His children will have a refuge." I'll read the verse in its entirety. "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." People who fear the Lord have help in troublesome times, unlike those who face them without God's help. Fear of the Lord increases the quality of life by making life an overflowing experience. Proverbs 27a, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." You can start each day afresh. You have the forgiveness of God. You have peace. You have freedom from guilt. Fear of the Lord increases the quality of life by helping us to avoid the pitfalls which destroy so many. The second part of Proverbs 14, verse 27 says, "That one may turn away from the snares of death." I'll read verses 26 and 27 together now in their entirety. "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." Verse 27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." And so the fear of the Lord brings quality of life as well as quantity of days. So from the Proverbs, we can learn the value of the fear of the Lord in our relationship with God. This is something which Christ and his apostles continued to recognize. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him, that is God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Philippians 2:12, Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Peter said to Cornelius in Acts 10:34-35, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." The first little portion of Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning." What we need is a humble and teachable attitude. This will ensure that we are always ready to become wiser and always ready to become more skilled in the art of living. Proverbs 1:20-33. "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, all the openings of the gates in the city. At the openings of the gates in the city, rather, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me," this is wisdom speaking, "but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." Let's stand together and sing the song that's been selected.